The Orlando shooter used an assault rifle very similar to the one used in Newtown, Connecticut in the 2012 rampage that killed 20 children and 6 adults. And 10 of the Newtown families have joined a lawsuit against Remington, which makes the military-style rifles. The plaintiffs have had an uphill battle. A 2005 law protects gun makers from liability. They say it's gun dealers who are responsible for gun sales. But there's a clause in that law, something called negligent entrustment, which allows for gun manufacturers to be held responsible if a gun is sold to a person who has a high risk of misusing it. And in a novel approach, the Newtown families say the very availability of the rifles is negligent entrustment because the guns are a weapon of war. The defendants, Remington and a wholesaler, want the case thrown out. Both sides have just one last chance to argue their side at a hearing next Monday. Meanwhile, Mark Barden is one of the plaintiffs. His 7-year-old son, Daniel, was killed at Sandy Hook, as was Nicole Hockley's 6-year-old son, Dylan. Both are co-founders of Sandy Hook Promise, which works to fight gun violence against kids. They're with us from Washington. Their gala is tonight. It'll be a somber one. And Nicole, Mark, I know years have passed. It doesn't matter. Let us say again, so sorry for the loss of your children.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you very much, Robin.
Yeah. And we know from hearing from the Boston bombing survivors here in Boston that an event like Sundays in Orlando re-triggers things for people who've survived. Nicole, start with you. How are you doing?
Well, Sunday was an awful day for the country, but obviously as someone who has lost someone to gun violence, it was a horrible day for me that brought me right back to 1214 and knowing what the families must be feeling as they waited to find out about their loved ones. After that, though, after Sunday, I just got angry and have just really doubled down on my resolve with Sandy Hook Promise to prevent these tragedies from happening because they are preventable and people don't have to keep dying. It's completely unacceptable. And my heart grieves for Orlando and the community, but the rest of us need to act. We need to stop these things from happening.
And when people feel it's so intractable, I want to talk about what you both want to see happen. But Mark, you know, she thought of the family waiting. And we remember on that horrible day at Sandy Hook, at first it was thought that terribly a teacher had been shot in the leg. And then, you know, as the hours went by, and all of you were waiting to find out, I'm sure you were thinking about that, too.
Absolutely. And what an interminable wait that is, waiting to determine the fate of your child or your loved one. It's an unconscionable fact that we have to continue to live through this. And as Nicole said, these horrific tragedies are so preventable.
What would you have done the day after the San Bernardino shooting? Congress voted against extending a ban or reenacting a ban on assault weapon sales. You stood with President Obama after the Senate defeated the background check amendment in 2013.
First of all, as most of the country thought, I thought as well, it was the low-hanging fruit. This was a law that had been in place already for decades. It was just about extending it to all sales and not just most sales, and I thought it was absolutely going to pass. And when it didn't, it was an eye-opening education for me. We knew that we had 90% of the United States was supporting that. So we started to look at that as an organization. How do you activate those people? How do you mobilize them? How do you organize them to be an effective voice in this if you have that much support? So that's what we've been doing with Sandy Hook Promise. We've been getting those folks engaged and involved and really kind of looking for sustainable solutions. You know, one of the things that literally keeps me up at night when I think of what happened to our children, to my little Daniel and to Nicole's little Dylan, is what could we have done to prevent it before it happened? And that's what we're doing with Sandy Hook Promise. We're trying to find those intervals.
Well, but Nicole, it seems like, you know, in the case of the Sandy Hook shooting, the shooter was said to have mental health issues. In this case, we have a shooter in Orlando who had actually been on the watch list, and it's still legal for him to purchase guns. How do you untie that system?
Definitely, I think our country needs to deal with the issue of the terror watch list and the terror gap that exists. It's insanity. This is about protecting the majority of people. If you're on the terror watch list, then you should not have easy access to weapons. It's as simple as that. In terms of mental health and at-risk behaviors, there are so many warning signs and signals that are thrown off, especially in these planned events, which Orlando was a planned event. What happened at Sandy Hook was a planned event. People knew that something was going to happen. There were signs and signals put off by these shooters, but people don't know necessarily what they're seeing or hearing or reading and what to do with that information. And that's a big education for our country as well. This investigation is unfolding, and I feel confident in saying that as the investigation continues, more signs and signals will come to the surface. But we have seen reports of the shooter's ex-wife and domestic violence. We've seen reports from a coworker of the shooter talking about, again, violent outbursts and inappropriate access to different systems and firearms. And now the wife's reporting as well. And I feel certain that there will be other signs and signals that come up, whether it's stuff that the shooter put on social media or whether it's something that friends or family knew and did not correctly identify or deal with. But it's almost guaranteed.
Well, and Mark, we mentioned you, Nicole, and eight other Newtown families are in a lawsuit against gun makers. Make your case against the assault rifle.
In my personal opinion, this platform, the assault rifle, and it comes in different forms, but the platform is designed for military use, for use on the battlefield, to kill as many people as possible in as short amount of time as possible. And that's what it does, and it does that well. And we see this over and over again. When somebody is intent on perpetrating an act of mass murder, that is the tool that they use for that, because that's what it was designed to do. My personal opinion is that there's no practical application in civilized society for that kind of firepower.
Nicole, you wrote a heartbreaking piece, a letter to the mom I used to be, and talked about, you know, how you just, you know, your life changes. What would you want to share with people just coming to grips with their own losses in Orlando? How do you get through this?
Well, every loss is unique, and there is no common journey for everyone. It's a very individual experience. For myself, as a mother to a son no longer here and a son who is still living and thriving, I just do the best that I can to honor my child that died and protect my child that survived. But it's every day is difficult and has its own challenges, and the future is unknown. You know, I'm not the same person that I was before what happened at Sandy Hook. I'll never be that person again. I'm still figuring out who I am right now and what my future might hold. But I'm just trying to be the best mom that I can be, the best friend I can be. And when I think about the families in Orlando and the journey that they might have ahead of them, the journey that they will have ahead of them, you know, navigating loss is impossible. You don't know how you're going to react until you're in that situation. Sadly, there's no handbook on how to deal with this. There's no true cycle. You can bounce around every single emotion within, you know, multiple times every day. Anything can trigger you and bring you right back to where you were at the start. But, you know, people need to rely on their friends and their family and those that love them, and they need to be open to accepting that love, because that's truly what can help you stand on the days when all you want to do is lay down.
Still. Mark?
I would say the same. It's a daily process. You know, here we are 3.5 years after we lost our children. And I would say within every couple of minutes, I'm reminded of something. I'm constantly thinking about my little Daniel, and it is a cycle. I miss him terribly. I miss him desperately. I was a stay-at-home dad. He was my little buddy. We were home together all the time. And it's this cycle of desperate longing that for me just kind of collapses. It devolves into pure rage of where I have no place to direct that. I guess that's where I kind of have to channel that into advocacy. But I am constantly aware now of these folks in Orlando who are going through this, who are beginning this journey. And what I would say to them is that there's no wrong way to go about this, allow the rage. You may question your faith, and that's okay. You may be angry and have ugly thoughts of rage and revenge, and that's okay too. And just don't let anybody tell you there is any way to do this. You're not heading toward a day where you're going to say, okay, I'm okay now. You just have to learn how to manage it.
Yeah. That's Mark Barden. He lost his 7-year-old son, Daniel, in the Sandy Hook attacks of 2012. Nicole Hockley's 6-year-old, Dylan, was also killed. They are now the founders and managing directors of Sandy Hook Promise. Mark, Nicole, we always appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Robin.